We turn again in the Word of God, and it's this time to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Page 811 in our church Bibles, Matthew 6. Reading just one verse, verse 11. Matthew 6, verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, we want to turn our minds again to our series here in the book of Matthew. By now, we're well into the Sermon on the Mount, which spans chapters 5, 6, and 7. And last week, we thought about one of the verses leading up to the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verse 8. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And we were thinking about that question. If God knows everything, why pray? And we tried to deal with that as best as we can. And we had some stimulating conversations and discussions in our home groups. If anyone still has any questions, do feel free to ask our theological student on placement. He would be more than happy to help you out. That was last week. And as I said last time, since it's only a year since we went through the Lord's Prayer together, phrase by phrase, it's not our plan, it's not our intention this time round to do that again in our Matthew series. But at the same time, I don't want to leave it out completely. And this morning there is a particular request in the prayer that is especially helpful to us this morning. That request of verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. The Lord's Prayer actually divides quite neatly into two halves. Each half can be summarized in one word. The first half can be summarized with the word your. Your name, your kingdom, your will. The second half of the prayer can be summarized with the word us. Give us. Forgive us. Lead us. And Jesus is teaching us in this prayer, we're to begin with God's concerns and we're to pray for the things God's most concerned about. That's where we start. And when we've done that, we're to pray for our own concerns. We start in heaven, if you like, and then we come down to earth. And that's a good pattern for our prayer lives. And as you can maybe see from the prayer, the request we're looking at this morning, give us this day our daily bread, it's the first of the earthly requests. It's the first us in the prayer. And if you didn't have any knowledge of this prayer, and if I was to ask you to guess what would be the first thing, what would be the first earthly request? What's the first thing Jesus teaches us to pray for ourselves? Have a guess. I don't think any of us would guess this. I imagine most of us would say something like, give us the forgiveness of sin, or give us help against the devil, or give us increased communion with you, Father, or give us greater fellowship with our brothers and sisters. But no. Give us this day our daily bread. And at its heart, this is a prayer for food. It's a prayer, quite literally, for bread. But we have to get here that bread speaks of so much more than just a sliced pan loaf. For Jesus' hearers, just think of it, bread. It was incredibly symbolic. It spoke of everything they needed in life. It stands for all of their physical and material and even their spiritual needs. We need to keep that in mind. And so this morning I want to highlight four lessons this simple prayer request teaches us. Give us this day our daily bread. Firstly, we should be grateful to God for all His blessings. We should be grateful to God for all his blessings. The very first word teaches us that. Teaches us that everything we have is a gift from our Father in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. It's an acknowledgement that we need him. We depend on him, and we need him to give us everything we need in life, right down to the bread in our toasters. Give us, O Lord. And surely then, this is one of the most basic scriptural principles. We ought to be grateful for everything he's given to us. Listen to the words of Moses, Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. You shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good he has given you. Or Psalm 92, verse 1. It is good to give thanks to the Lord. And in our world of supermarkets and online deliveries and fridges and freezers full to overflowing, we maybe don't really appreciate how much he provides for us and how much we depend on him. But it doesn't take much to remind us, does it? A few weeks of too much rain, a few weeks of too little rain, and the farmers are pulling their hair out. A couple of days of heavy snow, the whole country grinds to a halt. Do you remember the ash cloud of a few years ago? Everything kind of stops. It's a reminder, if we're to have anything, God is the one who gives it. And this line of the prayer comes to us and teaches us this morning, are you grateful? Are you grateful for all his blessings? Have you ever stopped to think of the splendor of his provisions for you? He could have ordained that we eat nothing but mud. Mud for breakfast, mud for lunch, mud for dinner. But he didn't. And boy, are we glad he didn't. He's filled this world with the richest of flavors. He's given us taste buds to savor them. He could have made everything around us gray. But he didn't do that. He created a world for us, painting it in vivid technicolor and giving us the eyes to be able to see it all. He's made it so you can lie down in your garden, look up at the clouds, smell the roses, and listen to the birds sing all at the same time. He's designed it that the juice dribbles down your chin when you're eating a luscious peach. He didn't have to do that. He's given you the joy of watching your children playing at your feet, some of us, or climbing up Scrabble and seeing for miles in every direction, of listening and enjoying your favorite music. All those things, they're gifts from our Almighty God. And so that's why Christians follow our Savior's example in giving thanks. In giving thanks when we sit down before a plate of food. That's not a little ritual. It's a very profound thing, really. Bowing our head over a plate of food and saying of this food, this is God's provision for me. This is what God has provided. We're different from the animals, aren't we? We don't just jump right in. We're to give thanks for our food, whether at home or at work or in a restaurant, because that's what Christians do. It's what Jesus did. Paul actually identifies ungratefulness as a mark of the unconverted. He says, not being grateful, that's actually a sign of the unconverted. Romans 1, 21. Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. And at the end of the day, as Christians, we ought to be the most grateful of everything in creation. Because as we have before us this morning, we've been provided for, not just materially, but spiritually. In God's Son, we've been given the free gift of everlasting life, forgiveness of sin, unending joy, every spiritual blessing in Christ. So let's relearn this most basic of lessons. We should be grateful to God for all his blessings. And if you're here today and we're listening later and you're not yet a believer in the Lord Jesus, do you realize how completely dependent you are on him? For absolutely everything, even though you're ignoring him, disobeying him, the very breath in your lungs right now is his provision for you. And he's being so patient with you, sustaining your rebellious life. And he's calling you today to turn from that rebellion and in gratitude trust in his Son, that we should be grateful for all his blessings. Secondly, we should be content with what we have. We should be content with what we have. What is it he teaches us to pray for in this request? Bread. Not beef. Not brie. Not brownies. Bread. We're praying for our needs, not our greeds, Jesus teaches. Or in the words of Baloo from the Jungle Book, this is about praying for the bare necessities of life. Give me today what I need, Father. That's all. Give me what I need today. Give me my daily bread. And isn't that a challenge again to us? All of us sitting here today, surely we have a standard of living that's far above the level of basic necessity. Our lifestyles, many people in the world would say, are luxurious. We have far, far more than our basic needs. And it's not that that's a problem. We shouldn't feel guilty for where God has placed us in the world. But it's a problem when we have the nerve to be discontent with that. The problem is when we have so much more than our daily bread and we're still not content with it. Understand, friends, that companies spend millions training, teaching, and employing huge marketing teams whose primary purpose is to make you discontent and to create in you a sense of unfulfillment, dissatisfaction. You need to have this. You must have that. Every day we're getting bombarded with all of this. Your life would be better if you had this or that. But listen to the word of God, 1 Timothy 6:6-8. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. If we have food and clothing, with these we'll be content. This prayer teaches us we should be more content with what we have. And if you think about it, what a witness that will be to the world. How we would stand out from the crowd if we were men and women and young people who knew the secret of being content in every situation. Because at the end of the day, as a Christian, what do you have? You have Christ. You have every spiritual blessing in Christ. You have the greatest treasure in all the world. Someone could have all the food in the world. They could have the best clothes in the world. But if they don't have Christ, what really do they have? We should be more content with what we have. Thirdly, we should be mindful of the needs of others. We should be grateful. We should be more content. Thirdly, we should be mindful of the needs of others. What are the words again of the prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. Not give me my daily bread. Praying for bread is not something we do as individuals. It's to be prayed with others and for others. It's something we're to pray for collectively, together. It's a prayer for everyone who has God as their Father. Give us this day our daily bread. Ephesians 4:28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So one of the reasons for work is so that we have something to share with those in need. So that we have something to share with those in need. Across the world this morning, we have brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, and they literally don't know where their next meal is coming from. And they're praying this prayer, perhaps, in many, many different languages. Give us this day our daily bread. In our own land, there are Christians on the poverty line, some of them through no fault of their own. Could it be God could use you or me to answer this prayer for a needy brother or sister? 2 Corinthians 8:14. Your abundance at the present time should supply their need. Your abundance should supply their need. And there is a sense that we're then part of the answer to this request. We're part of the answer to this. You don't need to look far to find ministries and charities that will help you in this. Our lunchtime ministry is part of the answer to this prayer. The food bank ministry in the town is part of the answer to this prayer. Ministries like Belfast City Mission, London City Mission, Barnabas Fund, Open Doors, Release International, they're part of the answer to this prayer. God has given us more than we need, not to simply increase our standard of living, but so we can help more people, so that people can be provided for. Now, there's nothing wrong with big salaries, friends. Nothing wrong with big salaries. Indeed, it would be lovely to have more people at church with bigger salaries. There's nothing wrong with big salaries. The problem, though, is when we think we need to have big lifestyles to match the big salary, or when we want to stash it away rather than share it abroad. John Wesley, when he began his ministry, he had an income of £30. This is in the 1700s. He had an income of £30. He worked out he needed £28 to live on, and he could give away the other £2. And he determined to maintain that standard of living throughout his whole life and to give anything above that threshold. So when his income increased to £60, he was able to give away £32. As it increased to £120, he continued to live in 28 and gave away £92. And he became known for his saying, "What should rise is not the Christian's standard of living, but his standard of giving." And he continued this practice his entire life. When his income reached £1,400, a fortune in that day, he still lived on £30 and gave the rest away. In our money, that would have been, he lived on £3,500 and he gave away £160,000. His prayer was, give us this day our daily bread. Let's seek, friends, to be more mindful of the needs of others. It's not just me and my bubble and you and your corner. Give us this day our daily bread. Whether physical needs or spiritual needs too. Our abundance should supply their need. We should be mindful of the needs of others. We should be grateful. We should be content. We should be mindful of others. Fourthly, we should be confident God will supply daily grace. We should be confident God will supply daily grace. Though this is a very short request, there is a word mentioned twice in it. Give us this day our daily bread. A double emphasis there on daily. Give us today the bread of today, Father. So our Father in heaven, you see, does not give us a lump sum at the beginning of our Christian life and wish us all the best. No, he supplies us day by day by day. And we're like the children of Israel then in that sense, picking up our manna one day at a time, our daily bread. It doesn't mean that you don't plan for the future. Of course you should. You should plan for the future. It's good to have savings and pension plans and life insurance. But we need to remember we only live one day at a time. And he promises to supply you what you need for today. For today. This is such a helpful, helpful truth, friends. God supplies daily grace. Matthew 6:34, just a few verses on from the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6:34, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It's the Lord's day today. This is the day God has called you to live. He doesn't call you to live Monday or Tuesday today. The only day God expects you to live today is today. And he gives you the help you need for today. And I know there's some of us this morning and we're worrying about what may or may not happen in the days, weeks, months ahead of us. But God doesn't promise to give us grace in advance for all of that. He doesn't give us all the rations we need in advance. He doesn't give a lump sum of grace. He gives us the grace and strength we need when we need it, day by day. And this is a tremendous help to us. So the child who's worrying about sitting their transfer tests next year or starting a new secondary school in September, the young person at school who's worrying about university, the student who's losing sleep worrying about getting a job, the couple who are fretting about getting married and buying a house, and how will we cope? The expectant mothers worrying about newborn life, parents who are worrying about the teenagers, the workers worrying about their retirement, the patients who are worrying about their diagnosis, or the spouses who are worrying about the patient's diagnosis. How will we cope with all of these changes ahead of us? This prayer reminds us, be confident about daily grace. He'll give you what you need for the day. And you just ask him for the grace for today. The thing you're worrying about in the future, he'll give you grace for that when you come to that. It's a tremendously liberating truth. We're living each day one at a time. And God will provide and sustain us one day at a time. His mercies are new every what? Every year? Every month? His mercies are new every week? No. Lamentations 3:23. They're new every morning. Every morning. And this request teaches and trains us, friends, to live by faith one day at a time. Holding every day our empty hands out to God. I need you again today, God. I need you again. Give me what I need to get through this day, Father. I think if we had our prayer, some of us, if we had our way, some of us would pray, give us this week our weekly bread, or give us this month, or give us this year our yearly bread. That would be great, God. Just give it to me all at once. I'll be all right. Then I'll trust you. But God doesn't work that way. He wants us to have this moment-by-moment dependence on him. He wants us, doesn't he, to keep on coming back to him again and again, having this ongoing, continual relationship with him. And so we pray every day, God, give me today. Give me today my necessities, my bread, exactly what I need to help me through today, God. And hence we keep coming back to the Lord's Supper. We keep this continual remembrance of the Lord's death. We keep coming back again and again and again. This continual, constant dependence on his grace. As we soon come to eat and drink this morning, we would do well to be grateful for all he's done for us in Christ, to be content with all we have in Christ, to be mindful of the needs of others in Christ, and to be confident of daily grace through Christ. Amen.